And now, it's time for our weekly news round, Lutheran Radio News with Paul Hill.
The Evangelical Lutheran Church of England, the ELCE, had received a request from the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Ghana to support a new mission field, which is under the pastoral care of the Reverend Emmanuel Tito. This work is being overseen by the Reverend John Donko, President of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Ghana. Reverend Donko gave us a shopping list for the items they needed to help carry out their work. Right at the top of the list was a motorbike for Pastor Tito, which cost just over £2,000. The ELCE Board for Overseas Missions decided to support the first item on the list by purchasing the motorbike. While having a small amount of cash for overseas missions projects, the committee needed lots of help from Lutheran churches in the ELCE. Posters were made, emails were sent, conversations were had, etc. The Overseas Missions Committee have helped many projects as best as they were able to over the years, but this one seemed to get a really good reception, even from the smallest of congregations. I personally suspect that people had an image of Pastor Tito whizzing along a dirt track in Ghana with surplus and stole flapping madly in the breeze as he dashed between missing churches on a Sunday morning. Whatever they thought, the ELCE has raised over £3,000 to buy the motorbike, so a huge thank you to all those who gave so willingly and so generously. Hopefully Pastor Tito will bring Christ's blessings to even more people than he could before, as he and his team continue their great commission. But if he starts to do stunt jumps over buses, please do let us know. The United Nations has called for a ban on religion being used to select pupils in England in what religious leaders and MPs have branded a secular-inspired attack on faith schools. The UN Committee on the Rights of the Child published a report on child rights in the UK and concluded that preventing the use of religion as a selection criterion for schools' admissions in England was a priority. It also recommended repealing legal provisions for compulsory attendance in collective worship and called on the government to establish statutory guidance to ensure that children have the right to withdraw from religious classes without parental consent. However, the report has sparked a backlash from MPs, religious leaders and faith school providers who claim that it would be illiberal to deny religious families the basic right of a religious education and that it was inaccurate to claim that collective worship attendance is compulsory. But Megan Manson, head of campaigns at the National Secular Society, welcomed the call for faith-based selection at schools to be abolished, saying it was disgraceful that religious discrimination is permitted in the schools we all pay for, and urged the government to act on the report's conclusions. Most types of faith schools in England qualify for exemptions from the Equality Act 2010, which enable them to prioritise children from families who share their faith if they are oversubscribed. This can include requirements for parents and children to regularly attend a local place of worship or provide evidence of baptism. As a result, some parents are unable to send their children to their local state school. Responding to the UN report, Nick Fletcher, the Conservative MP for Don Valley and a member of the Education Select Committee, described it as an apparent attack on people and institutions of faith. It does not seem to come from a position of tolerance, but rather one of intolerance, he said. I have confidence that here in the UK, we will continue to respect Christianity and the other great faiths and to recognise the huge benefit they and the institutions they run bring to our society. Monsignor Michael Nazir Ali, former Bishop of Rochester, added, "This sounds like a secular-inspired attack against faith and its influence in society. Parents are the primary persons responsible for their children's upbringing. The state is only a supporting role. By the way, would this committee not be spending its time more fruitfully working out how Afghan girls can go back to schools? What to do about children being brainwashed in extremist madrasas, and many children in the world who still have no access to education, instead of targeting the UK, where there is universal access to a reasonable quality of education?" Paul Barber, director of the Catholic Education Service, added, "Parents have the right to raise and educate their children within their own religious framework, and it would be illiberal to remove this basic right from them." Catholic schools are more ethnically diverse and serve more of the pupils from the most deprived backgrounds than the state sector. Nigel Gingers, Chief Education Officer at the Church of England, said that all of its schools are there to serve the whole community, including families of all faiths and none. They added that when the schools are oversubscribed, it provides places to those who regularly attend worship, and there is an argument that this can offer an alternative to a simple postcode lottery. A Church of England source also added that the institution was perplexed by the collective worship recommendation, saying that parents have been able to withdraw their children from collective worship since the 1944 Education Act, and no recent legislation has affected this right. A Department for Education spokesperson said, like all other mainstream state-funded schools, faith schools must admit all children who apply. Without reference to faith, where are the places available? Where they are oversubscribed, they may give priority for places within their oversubscription criteria to applicants on the basis of faith. The most recent Chief Adjudicator's report on school admission shows that the admission system is working well, with 92.2% of families offered their first choice primary school and 83.3% were offered their first choice secondary school in 2022. Primary schools in the conservative state of Utah have been forced to ban the Bible after its vulgarity and violence was deemed to fall foul of censorship laws. Book bans in schools have been sweeping America, mostly drawn up by Republicans to reduce access to literature with LGBT or gender identity references. Utah has introduced prohibitions on books deemed pornographic or indecent, leading to one parent ironically complaining about the contents of the Bible. The Davis School District, the second largest in the state with nearly 74,000 children, has limited the Bible to older children after an unnamed parent complained it was one of the most sex-ridden books around. A district review committee which considered the complaint said it would retain the book in school library circulation only at the high school level based on age appropriateness due to vulgarity or violence. In what is being seen as a liberal fight back in the war on woke, the parents submitted an 8-page complaint packed with examples of objectionable biblical passages. Incest, onanism, bestiality, prostitution, genital mutilation, fellatio, dildos, rape, and even infanticide, the parent wrote. You'll no doubt find that the Bible under Utah Code AN7610-1227 has no serious values for minors because it's pornographic by our new definition. Conservative groups across the US have stepped up their war on woke by demanding the removal of inappropriate literature from schools. I thank the Utah legislature and Utah Parents United for making this bad faith process so much easier and way more efficient, the parent added. Now we can all ban books and you don't even need to read them or be accurate about it. Heck, you don't even need to see the book. The committee's decision, which followed a detailed examination of the King James Version of the Bible, has been appealed by another member of the public who wants it retained. Christopher Williams, the school district spokesman, said it would be left to a full panel of the Board of Education to make a final decision. He added that he believed only 7 or 8 school libraries even had a Bible on their shelves, adding that the book was not part of the curriculum. It was not only the Bible that is under threat in Utah. The Davis School District has also been asked to consider a demand to ban the Book of Mormon, the credo of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. If the plea is upheld, the book, which was published in 1830 by Joseph Smith, would be banned in the home state of the Mormon Church. In conservative states across the US, books have been swept off the shelves of schools and libraries as a culture war has intensified. In Florida, whose governor Ron DeSantis is seen as Donald Trump's main rival for the Republican presidential nomination, a single parent can demand a review of an inappropriate book. Oklahoma has debated a law that focused on sexual activity, sexual identity, or gender identity. The curbs have alarmed the American Library Association. The curation of library collections for young people should not be left to politicians and advocacy groups who place politics above young people's education needs, said one of its directors, Deborah Caldwell Stone. It's likely to be a key issue in next year's presidential election. Conservative strategists believe that imposing restrictions on inappropriate books appearing in school libraries will win parental votes. However, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have repeatedly condemned the bans as being propagated by MAGA extremists. And earlier this year, the Biden administration opened an investigation into a Texas school's district removal of books featuring LGBTQ characters, arguing that it could constitute illegal discrimination. Vladimir Putin has given one of Russia's most famous religious icons to the Russian Orthodox Church, seemingly as a thank you for its support for his invasion of Ukraine. The decision to move the 600-year-old painting from a museum has been criticized as reckless due to its fragile condition. Patriarch Kirill, the head of the Russian Orthodox Church, presided over a Sunday service at the Cathedral of Christ the Savior in Moscow, next to the 15th-century Trinity by the medieval painter Andrei Rublev. President Putin has made a historic decision to return this miraculous icon, he said. The icon will be in the Cathedral of Christ the Savior for a year, so that both Muscovites and guests of the capital can bow to this great shrine. Art experts describe the Trinity as a masterpiece by Russia's most important medieval artist. It shows three angels, considered to be the Holy Trinity and the embodiment of unity, peace, harmony, love and humility. Video footage showed thousands of Russians queuing up to see the work, held in a glass cabinet and guarded by two policemen. But art experts have said that it's deeply irresponsible of the Kremlin to move the masterpiece around and to allow it to be displayed outside the sterilized confines of a modern museum. Moving the icon, whose condition is already bordering on emergency, will only accelerate the process of its destruction, which will be extremely difficult to stop, the Russian Academy of Science said in a letter to Russia's culture minister. The painting was originally housed in the Trinity Cathedral of the Holy Trinity Sergius Lavra in the old Rus town of Sergiev Posad, northeast of Moscow, until the 1920s, when communists handed it over to the Tretyakov Museum. The Trinity Cathedral briefly displayed the icon last summer, and the Orthodox Church has said it intends to house it there permanently. Patriarch Kirill, a suspected former Soviet spy, has been a staunch supporter of Mr. Putin's war in Ukraine and key to its propaganda. Mr. Putin believes that the church holds sway over millions of Russians, especially in rural areas where they are more religious, and he makes sure to be seen in church on religious holidays. And finally, Pastor Jamie decided to have a practical lesson for his Sunday school class. His theme was Jesus, the Good Shepherd. So Pastor Jamie dressed up as a shepherd and had all the accoutrements. At the end of his lesson, he asked the class what they had learned. A little girl replied, "Now I know what a crook looks like."
My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you and goodbye for now.